Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is your co-host, or one of your co-hosts for tonight's show, Adia Sanders, and you are live with us on the PRF, Possession, Resources, and Finances. You are at the table tonight. And tonight what we're going to do, we're going to still have a continuation of what we've been talking about for the entire month of March and on our series of Your Keys to Wealth. Key number four is compliance, obedience. And what does that really mean? As you all know, on last week we talked about the question was asked as far as your keys to wealth, how committed are you? And in looking at our commitment to ourselves, to our family members, to God first and foremost, we have to be able to understand what commitment is and what it means as it relates to God. And so looking at the commandments that God gave Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you know, we looked at what obedience really means and what it means as far as our commitment. And so one of the examples that we have is that thou shalt have no other God before me. And so what we see is that if what we do does not point back to the Creator, then are we really committed to what we're doing? Are we even walking in obedience? Are we walking in compliancy? Or what are we really doing and trying to grasp and get a good hold of that? And so there were several questions that were asked as it related to identifying the keys to wealth, and it was just one to understand and to be able to ask yourself the question, what am I committed to? And it's making it very personal. Who am I committed to, and why am I committed? And so we understand that in commitment, we look at that it is something that where you give or you entrust something to someone, you put into the hands or power of another person. That is what commitment is. And so when we're looking at wealth, Proverbs 13 and 11 says, The wealth get rich quick schemes, they quickly disappear. But wealth from hard work grows over time. And so in asking yourself if you are committed to the keys to wealth, you would have to understand that it's something that does not come overnight, that it takes hard work, and that is from the New Living Translation. But also out of that, when it came to wealth, is knowing that wealth is enduring. It is a characteristic to retain as far as having wisdom when it comes to wealth, that it continually grows, and that when you work hard, you understand that it is not going to be, wealth is not something that is obtained overnight. And so you may be asking, you know, well, I got it, you know, it was such a good, you know, show on last week, but What does being obedient, like I still don't get it. What does obedience really have to do with my commitment? I just don't get it, Adia. I mean, I hear you saying, you know, not to chase after this, not to chase after that. But when you understand that obedience and where obedience comes from, and that it is tied to your keys to wealth, then I think if just for a moment of time, if we were to say, if I did everything that I was supposed to do, if you can think back on a past situation to where you were supposed to do something, if you did it to the T, if you follow steps one all the way through step five, that the result would have been X, Y, and Z. I think you kind of understand where I'm getting at. And so a lot of times, we understand and we know what it means to be obedient. We know what it means to be committed, but we're not able to apply them. And so tonight what we want to do for you is just give you a little bit more of what the Word of God has to say about compliance, about walking in obedience. And so we thank you for tonight. We thank you just for pulling up a seat at the table with us where everybody has a seat. And to understand that unless there's true obedience, unless there's true compliancy coming from the individual, that it is, I won't say impossible, but it definitely lengthens the timeline, if I can use that word. It lengthens the timeline on how and when you obtain the wealth. Because if you're going to get a key, if you're supposed to get a key, whether it's a key to a car, a key to a house, a key to a new office, if it's dependent upon your obedience, if it's dependent upon your commitment, how long will it take for you to get those keys? And so I'm going to stop right there and hand it over to the incomparable, the Reverend Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap. And let him take it away, because I'm really excited. You probably don't hear it in my voice, because right now, like, just talking about those keys, you know, and knowing that this is our last, well, maybe, I don't know, I think we got one more, but that this is one of the last nuggets to give you as far as the keys are concerned, that maybe tonight will unlock the door for somebody. Definitely hoping and praying that it will unlock the door for me, because there are some keys out there with our names on it. But if we don't know what to do, we don't know that we're supposed to be obedient and what obedience and what compliancy looks like, what commitment looks like according to the Word of God, then those keys could very well still be hanging there with our names on it, but out of our reach. And so, Nate, I thank you for this opportunity. I'm going to give it to you, and we're going to get ready for a great show on tonight. Can I get a witness?
I love it. Welcome, family. It is definitely an honor and a joy to be back with you at the table. I missed y'all last week, but God is doing some great, fantabulous things with this PRF teaching ministry. There's more to come later, maybe not tonight's show, but maybe in a couple of weeks. God is doing some great things. So, look, Adia, you said something. I'm going to probably have to put it into the book or put it into the lesson, but you said there's some keys with your name on it. And I really want people to get that, because this series that we're talking from is Your Keys to Wealth series. It's not my keys. It's not the keys that I have in my pocket that I'm about to give over to you. It's the keys that you have. And one of the things that we said from the beginning of this series when we started off this first Thursday in March was everything that is out there for us to be wealthy as a people, I'm not just talking about black folks, but as a people, especially as God's people, most of us don't even realize it. And we're walking into churches every Sunday and Wednesday for Bible study and Thursdays, and every time the church doors are open, we're walking in with it on our iPhones, under our arm, in the bag, in the back of the car, taking it to church, and don't even realize that God has really just set out some things for us that allow us to be able to have access to it. I'm not preaching or teaching a prosperity gospel at all, from what is traditionally being talked about. What I'm saying is this. We have found that there are some keys in the Word of God that follow along and come before God gave that focal scripture, which was, remember the Lord, He's given you the power to get wealth. He has given you the ability to gain wealth. He has given you the power to be successful. He's given you the ability to be successful. Before you get to Deuteronomy 8:18, you have to deal with some other stuff in chapters 5 and chapter 6 and a little bit in chapter 7. But the other part of that is what I read you was not 8:18 or what I quoted to you. I've only given you a little bit because that's what constantly keeps being put out there. That's what's been talked about for so long. And we're saying, okay, if we're going to be educated, if we're going to study to show ourselves approved, if we're going to operate with the right key, then let's take the whole thing in context. And what we found was that it wasn't just about you being wealthy just to be wealthy. There was a purpose. And that purpose was and is, I believe, in order that the covenant might be fulfilled that he swore to your ancestors with an oath. And so when we had this first meeting on this first week of the month, we talked about, look, you got to understand the covenant that God made with his people. And so if you're going to be walking around here talking about I'm the seed of Abraham, okay, well, what are you doing as the seed of Abraham? Are you grabbing a hold and dealing with whatever it is that God has put out there as a child of the king, as a seed of Abraham? We said, look, we're tired of just hearing nice quoted scriptures out of the word of God, and we're just going to take it and we're going to run with it. And so the second week we dealt with, and then let me go back, not only did we talk about covenant, but this thing was about a covenant community. So we said, look, Joker, this thing ain't about you becoming wealthy so that you can live on an island by yourself and fly back and forth to Mai Mai, and so you can be balling out of control on a lot, on a yacht. That is not why God is giving somebody wealth, not for those purposes. The scriptures that and the commands and the things that God has communicated was about a community. Everything was spoken to the people, whether he was speaking to the Levites or whether he was speaking to the people in general. It was about the people. So if we're not going to be understanding, if we're not going to embrace this whole notion of wealth being about community, then maybe you're just dealing with riches. Maybe you're just dealing with riches. And then so we dealt with, okay, if we're really going to understand what Deuteronomy 8:18 says, then we got to really look at the commandments, because there's a whole bunch of talk about the commandments. And when you go back to Deuteronomy 5, which is a snapshot of the book of in the book of Exodus, when God first laid out the Ten Commandments, there's a reiteration of it to the new generation. And that thing is so powerful, because when you look at what's going on in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is written at a time where the children of Israel are on the backside of their wilderness experience, and they're preparing to go into the promised land. And so as they're preparing to go into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, then what God is saying, look, he's saying to Moses, look, I got to tell you some stuff to tell to them. Because one thing was important. The ones who God took care of, brought out of Egypt, brought out of bondage, brought out of slavery, those were not the same cats that was going into the promised land. Go back in the book of Numbers. That's what he said. When Joshua and Caleb went out there along with those other 10 spies, and they came back and said, we can't deal with this. This stuff is too hard. They're giants in the land. One of the things that God said after that was, very clearly, nobody over 20 years old is going to enter into this promised land that I'm taking you to, except for two of y'all, Joshua and Caleb. And so now that's in Numbers. So now we get into, and Numbers was pretty much almost the entire wilderness experience. So now here we are in Deuteronomy on the backside of that experience, and now they're getting ready to go into the promised land. God has to communicate to them, look, I need you to understand some things. Because see, all y'all don't remember what I was saying way back then, 40 years ago, and 40-plus years ago. And so this is what I'm saying today. And this is what we're saying today here on the PRF table. God is speaking in this season to those who are willing to grab the keys. If you're willing to grab a hold to the keys, you can have wealth. I'm going to say, for the sake of time, go back and listen to the other shows, because you'll realize we're not just talking about money. But we're not excluding money. So let's get that one straight as well. And then Adia, y'all came in here last week just ripping it to shreds, dealing with this thing on commitment. I was so tired after what I did last Thursday. I was like, you know what, I tried to get in. I was like, put me in the game, coach. Adia was just going. And then Mama was just going and going. I said, you know what, I'm hanging up. I'm going to just go ahead and just lay down in the bed instead of trying to sit at the table. So go back and listen to key number 3 last week. But let me just tell you, tonight – just like what it was when I was talking about the commandments and Adia was talking about commitment in the two previous shows. We're dealing with compliance tonight. And what is compliance? Compliance is, or what is obedience, I would say. Obedience is compliance to an order or a request or a law or submission to somebody else's authority. And so it's not really hard. You know, y'all know me. I'm not a real deep guy. If you are willing to be obedient to the authority of God and what he has already communicated about some things and how to operate within this earth, then why should you not be wealthy? Why should those promises that he's already placed out there? Do you really believe that the promised land experience was the only thing that God has promised for us? Come on now. One of the things that I'm just going to go forward today. You said just get into it, so I'm going to get into it. One of the things that I thought about was reminding everybody about what Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, Matthew 22, if I'm not mistaken, Luke chapter 10, about this loving your neighbor as yourself and loving one another. We know that is Jesus' love ethic. We understand that that is the way that we are supposed to be operating down here on this earth, those of us who know him and understand him, right? We already got that. We know that. But one of the things I thought about was, or as I read some stuff a while back, was, you know, it's amazing that that was not the only thing that Jesus said we needed to do. I'm not crazy. I do remember that as he was talking, he said the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says there's no greater commandment greater than these. Hold on, these. He didn't say this. He said these. So these is plural, if I'm not mistaken. Been out of school a little while, but I think that's what it means. It's more than one. And so you have to, if you're going to operate like Christ wants you to operate, then we got to take the whole. We can't just take part of it. Just like you can't take Deuteronomy 8 and part of 18 and just try to run with it. No, we need to deal with everything. And so what did Jesus talk about? He talked about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And I was like, okay, well, where did that come from? And lo and behold, I've taught on this before, but lo and behold, cousin, it comes out of Deuteronomy. Hold on, what? Jesus is quoting something from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5? Why is he doing that? Because it's important. Duh. I mean, let's be real. Jesus would not be quoting something that was not important. Furthermore, he would not be quoting something, well, not one. A lot of times he often would mention something because that was something that they understood because it was part of their culture. He understood that if I communicate with some things and say some things, that's going to trigger their memory. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like it was hard concept because they already had this thing down of obedience. But remember, it was about obedience to the law. So, yeah, don't do some of the things in the Old Testament, back in the Old Testament times. You may wind up getting dealt with kind of harshly. You wouldn't have a picture of an all-loving God full of grace. You'll be like, man, God did that? Yeah, he did that. Because God didn't play. He said, look, this is what I want you to do. And so what I'm getting at is you can't have the mindset, my brothers and my sisters, that we're just going to operate out of this thing called love and take that as one side of the coin because you're missing something. So if it was good enough for Jesus to say, look, you need to love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you have to kind of get it in your head and in your spirits, my brothers and my sisters, that those two things go hand in hand. And so if you go back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, if you go back there, a lot of folks don't want to go back there. The first word in verse 5 says and. And then if you go to verse 6, the first word in verse 6 says and. Okay, so what are we talking about? Are you? Am I all over the place? No, I'm really not all over the place. I understand I got to flow sometimes. So we can't just take verse 5 and not take verse 6. We can't take the peanut and not the butter, the ham and not the burger. Nobody goes to McDonald's and saying, can I get just the bread? If you went and ordered something at McDonald's and they gave you a filet of fish, which is what I like, and I ask for light tartar sauce, and they give me a filet of fish with no bun, I'm not going to be too happy because it doesn't make sense. Why would you do something like that? So what I'm saying to us is, why would we just take these one-liners out of the Word of God and then try to run with it? You're running on three tires, Jack. You're not going to get there. Or you may get there, depending on how much time you got, but it may take you a whole lot of time. I ain't got that type of time. I want to be running on all four tires. And if I'm riding a motorcycle, on all two. So in verse 6, he says, well, let's go back to verse 4. Verse 4, he says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord God alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you must commit, isn't that what you talked about last week, Adia? You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to the commands that I am giving you today. So as I started thinking about that, I said, oh, my goodness. That means it's not just I walk around here talking about, I love you, brother. I love you, my sister. God bless you. Yes, it's a whole lot deeper than that. It would be good if all we had to do to live in communion and relationship with another. It would be good if that's all I had to do and get my bills paid. It would be good if that's all I had to do and provide an inheritance to my children's children. But, beloved, I'm telling you, it takes more than that. Here's something that's interesting. And, Mama, if you want to jump in, I'm going to get a glass of water in a minute because I'm just going right now. Okay. But one of the things that I noticed when I looked at the text, that God is continuously saying and talking to them, his chosen people, about these commands. If you go to Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 1, what does God say? And I'm going to keep saying this. You ain't got to believe me. You can just sit there and be in poverty if you want to. You can think that this is not for you if you want to. It's okay. But for as me and my house, me and my fam, the PRF family, we on a whole different level. We ain't better than nobody. We just on a whole different level. We are not going to sit here and just allow what God has given, has placed the keys right before us. Like I said, you walking in the church with the keys in your hand. But breaking for bread, something wrong with that picture. Let me digress. Chapter 6, verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord God commanded me to teach you. Didn't want to go here, but I guess I need to go here. So the question is, what commands, what decrees, and regulations are you being taught by who you're being taught by? If there is no teaching about the commands and regulations and the decrees and the statutes and the judgments and the ordinance of God, then what are you teaching? Ain't no way in the world you can teach prosperity, Jack, I'm telling you, if you're not dealing with the command, statute, judgment, ordinance, because God has set a whole bunch of things in place for us to follow. Okay, some of y'all minds is kind of tripping right now. What is Dunn Light talking about? Okay, let me go here. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5. See, Jesus, I love Jesus for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons was because when he talked to folk that kind of knew it all, he had to kind of let them know some things. And he said what he said, and then he sat down. One of the things he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he says, don't understand why I've come. I know we're in Passion Week. I know this is Maundy Thursday. I know tomorrow's Good Friday. And I know Jesus supposedly was raised up on Sunday morning. I got you all that. I got it.
Amen.
I got it. So I ain't trying to bust anybody's bubble. So I understand that his resurrection had a lot. It was for a lot of things. But I'm going to just go with what he said. He says, don't understand why I've come.
I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. Or he says, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill them. I came to accomplish their purpose. Okay, hold on. I'm like, what you talking about? You all over the place. No, I'm not. If he came to fulfill them, then that means there's some applicability to them. One of the things that I've watched transpire right before my eyes for years in church is a so far to the right teaching of grace that they forget about the law. This thing is not about bondage. It's about helping us to understand what he came to do, which was to fulfill them. So if you keep on going, you know, he says, you know what the word, you know what the law says about adultery, but here's what I say, right? You know what you understand what the law says about murder, but here's what I say. And so let me just say this to some of my educated folks, doctors and theologians. Jesus did not have time. This is me, y'all. It's not a scripture. Jesus did not have time to go through all of the hundreds of commandments, judgments, statutes, ordinances, and say, you know what the law says about this, but here's what I say. You know what this ordinance says about this, but this is what I say. Come on, y'all. Can we be smarter than that? Let's help folk. Let's help folk and be real with folk. So you have to be able to say, okay, God, show me what you're talking about in this. Help me to understand how it's applicable in my life. And so one of the things, and this is just one of the things, one of the things that we are actually talking about is, okay, well, you're not going to get wealth, my brother and my sister, if you're not trying to follow what God has already put out there. We've already talked about wealth disparities. We've already talked about how so many people are living in poverty. Well, the reality is you just don't pick up and become wealthy. Adia, you touched on that. You're not going to be wealthy overnight. You can be rich overnight, but you sure as heck can't be wealthy, because wealthy means you have a greater purpose. Wealthy means you have a sense of unity. Wealthy is you really and you acknowledge, and you are really not going to be so stupid that you're going to think that you got that money and those riches all by yourself and go out and do whatever you want to do and think God's going to be pleased with it and let you just keep it or let it be beneficial or let it be something that's going to bless the children's children. I don't see God in that light. You may, but I don't. So let me just go here. When you look at chapter 6, I was going to be quiet. Let me just go to chapter 8. Sometimes reading 3 and 4 chapters is just a little bit too much for the mind. So let me just go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, if you look above your Bible, above chapter 8, it may say something like a call to remember. It may say something like a call to remembrance. It may say something like a call to obey. It may say something along those lines. And so if Nate, that's what's above. Huh?
I was going to say mine say both. They want you to get it both, to remember and obey.
Okay. So if that's what's at the top of your Bible, I ain't write it. That's the top of what's at your Bible. Then you have to understand that that is something that is applicable for that whole chapter. The first thing that was said was not about remember the Lord, he's the one that gives you power to get wealth. The first thing that was said in that first verse in that chapter 8 was be careful to obey. Can I stop there? Obey what? Obey the commands I'm giving you today. God continuously told Moses to tell the people, to tell them to obey, to tell them to obey. Can I take it one step further? Why is he stressing that to them in this particular book? Glad you asked. First of all, they are about to experience something that they have never experienced before. they are about to, they are going into a place that they have never been before. They're about to get stuff that they have never received before. They're about to do things that they have never done before. Well, I'm telling you, when you're operating in the spirit and operating in a mindset and a practicality of wealth, you should be doing stuff you've never done before. You should be experiencing things you've never experienced before. You should be involving people that you've never been involved with before. This land of milk and honey, this promised land, that was a special place that God had designed for his people. Now, as a Christian, and I'm scratching my bald head right now, as a believer, once we accepted Christ, that put us into a whole different stratosphere. So that means I have access to all that stuff where I'm able to do these things, experience new things, not work 70 and 80 hours a week. I'm going to be bold enough to say that is sin. I don't do it no more, cuz. I'm telling you, nah, not doing it. That doesn't mean you work to the bone and you never go on vacation and give yourself rest. That doesn't mean you preach 4 and 5 times on a Sunday morning and afternoon, but you never take a day of rest and call yourself prepared. Verse 6 in chapter 8. So, obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. Verse 11. But that is the time. But, so if the word but comes in there, that means there's something that that was said before then. But that's not the time, or that's the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, comma, regulations, comma, and decrees that I'm giving you today. I don't know what it's going to take. But if you can't see, go read it for yourself, but if you can't see how important following God's commands are and how connected that is to your plenty, how connected that is to your wealth, stay there in the wilderness if you want to. You know what's so great about the ones he's talking to right now? Remember, all y'all 20 and up, y'all not going in. Y'all going to die in the wilderness. I am so tired, Adia. I am so tired, Mama, of so many of our people dying in the wilderness. How many times have we said it on this show over these last almost 5 years, 4 or 5 years? There is no lack of resources in this doggone country. But why in the world? Because it's a worldly thing. Why in the world do we have so much? Why are so many people homeless?
Mm-hmm.
But yet you got 2 extra bedrooms in your crib. What? And you think that, come on. And you think God going to bless you with wealth? You won't put a homeless person in your car because you got leather seats. Joker, really? If that's I'm speaking about me. That's something that I had. I'm the Joker. Really? When I got that, it wasn't a problem. Get you some wipes, some sanitized wipes. Just wipe it down. Deal with the smell a little bit if you need to, if it's cold outside. Because you stunk. Talking about me, you stunk in the nostrils of God for a long time, Joker.
Mm.
Can somebody else just, look, this is not about, and we talked about this when we talked about the commandments and commitment. This is not about a legalistic thing. It's about getting into your mind and into your spirit. There is no way that you can operate like God wants you to operate as a community of God's people in wealth, with having some of the mindsets that some of our people have. See, We ain't even talking about being disobedient. That's a whole nother conversation. Can I do this? Can I say it's safe to say, Mama, that we already know a lot of people are not being are being disobedient to what God has said. So we ain't even got to talk about that no more. Look, I'm not the judge. I can judge your fruit, but I'm not the judge. It may be that even though you're bearing that type of fruit, it may be because you haven't been taught. Maybe it hasn't been revealed to you. Maybe it seems like it's too hard of a concept to grasp, so you move on to the other thing. I don't know. But this one thing I do know, I am tired of God's people walking around claiming blessed and highly favored, but broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm tired of God's people not leaving an inheritance to his to their children's children. I'm talking about in your church. I'm talking about in mine. I'm tired of God's people not wanting to deal with the things that are preventing them from tapping into God's wealth. And I do realize that, yes, we have to deal and meet people where they are. So that's why we're not getting on anybody tonight about you not operating in it. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest things that I ever read was Matthew 25. Okay, Matthew 25 came after chapter 5, right? Yeah, it did. Came after chapter 25. Matthew 25 came after chapter 22 when Jesus talked about the love ethic and both of these commandments, right? Yes, that's a couple of chapters over. Do you remember how Jesus talked about when I was hungry, you fed me, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, when I was naked, you clothed me, when I was sick and in prison, you came to see about me, when I was a stranger, you took me in? I love how Jesus does it, and that's how I'm trying to do things from now until he comes or until I die. I'm going to just put it out there to you. Look, Jack, you ain't got to accept it. But Jesus didn't say, the thing that was so interesting to that, and I know I'm veering, but it's just to just show you the magnitude of being obedient and following what he said. He didn't say you had to do those things. Go and look at it. He said there's going to come a time regarding your eternal life where there's going to be a decision made, and some joker's going to get put on the left, and some going to put on the right. Going to separate them. Then he talks about the ones who did those things. And then he said, well, when did we ever do that? Because he was talking about, you did this to me. You fed me hungry. I was all that to me. Hey, like, hold on. When did we do all that? We see you. What you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And then the word is very clear. Then he turned to the ones on the other side. He says the same thing. When I was hungry, you didn't. When did we not do this? When you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. Okay, so you would expect him to say something like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be the ones who did it. But he doesn't do that. It's another one of those instances of dropping the mic. It's real simple. Either you're going to do it or you don't. He don't even say you have to do that. See, that's fulfilling the law. Because, see, there was laws that told the children of Israel, how to operate in the promised land. This is what you do. This is what you do. When you get there, this is what you do. This is what you do. Let's fast forward 2,000 plus years after that. And here comes Jesus saying, I'm just going to put it out there to you. Because we have choices, y'all. I'm done.
not marry? What you got for us?
He got me. Well, I was thinking about
Mama, hold on real quick. If you were listening, I know I have been going tonight, but if you're listening, you want to jump into this conversation, I promise you I have not even been looking at the switchboard, but if you want to jump into this conversation, press 1 on the dial pad and we'll bring you to the conversation. If you're following us, if you're listening to us online, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF, and I'm going to go out there and while I give me a glass of water and kind of see what's going on the Facebook side of things. Sorry about that, Mama.
Okay, that's okay. A person has to want to have compassion for others. Sometimes people, because of how different people are raised, if you're raised in a hostile environment, then you're just going to be hostile because that's all you know. However, when we come to know Jesus, he teaches us a better way. And it takes time. And that's also a process. But if we really want to be loving to others as God has been to us, then it's a constant evaluation of ourselves. It's if you're not a compassionate person because things have happened, we have again the word to help us to understand that we have to forgive no matter what, just as we have to follow these commands no matter what, or whatever environment that we were brought up in. Now that we are in God's kingdom operate differently than the kingdom that we were that we were delivered from. And so it's gonna take us studying God's word. We're gonna have to be teachable, because when we are traditional, and that's all you know in your family for generation to generation, then we'll have to say, well, I do not understand this. This is not what my mama taught me. But, you know, I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be open-minded. And if I do not understand it, you know, I'm going to go back and listen to this, because I want to do that. I do want to help people, you know. And we just have to want to follow these commandments that God has laid out for us and others too. We can say, yes, I'm operating out of love. When we're in church, I say, oh, I just love you, I love you. And then soon, as I get out the church, you know, my mouth's a garbage disposer. You know, and he already said blessing and cursing don't come out the same mouth, and I know that, but this person I just don't like, and I just have to say it. Well, if a person has that type of attitude, then you're not going to grow, because even we're not going to get everything from the pulpit. We're going to have to go to God and ask God to help us, you know, to be healed. And we have to me, forgiveness is very important here, because Jesus said, you know, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. So if I'm holding bitterness and envy and strife and all those you know, bad fruits on my mind all the time, and then now, of course, it's gotten in my spirit, then I'm not going to be thinking good. I'm just going to be thinking about myself and how someone hurt me and how they didn't have to say this to me, and it's going to be all about me. So I'm going to have to, if I want to be successful, but wealthy the way God wants me to be, then I'm going to have to humble myself under God, you know, and say, I'm just going to read, I'm going to listen, you know, to PRF, I'm going to read, I'm going to listen, you know, I know I can put on Facebook if I have a question or whatever. You have to really have the desire to want to change and do what God has called all of us to do. And it's for our protection too. It's for our protection,
that's right,
because it makes us better. make us better people. And now we're ready to, and God will come in and help us supernaturally, but he's not going to do what he knows that we can do ourselves. He does the things that we cannot do. Amen.
You know what? I'm going to throw something in here, too. You know, I mentioned, you know, that God said, look, don't forget. Or Moses saying, don't forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands. If you keep reading, one of the things that was so interesting was for when you have become full and prosperous and have built homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Isn't that such loving God that he's already promising, saying what is going to happen? He didn't say if you become full and prosperous, if you've built fine homes to live in, if your flocks and your herds become very large, not just large, very large. If your gold has multiplied along with everything else, he says, when? Then you be careful. See, unfortunately, if this is what's being taught before you enter into the promised land, then you have a better opportunity of operating in the right capacity once you get there. But so many people are thinking they're so prosperous because they have received Christ. And yes, that is true. Your soul may be going to heaven. But you ain't there yet, man. You still got to live down on this earth. And God is making it so clear in this season. Look, I really want y'all to be better than what you are right now. So now what we see has to happen is we're mindsets have to be changed. Nothing gets to your heart except by going through your mind first. You have to hear something. God gave us a brain for information to flow through that fuels all of our emotions and everything else in our senses. And so all I'm proposing to my folks, to my people, is that as a descendant, as somebody who's supposed to be in covenant relationship with Christ, I cannot accept the full and prosperous is not for me. I cannot accept that I got to live in a one-bedroom shack or a roach-infested project or a mobile home. I can't accept that. I can't accept that the things that God is allowing me to get from working, that there will never be enough. I can't accept that, and I don't even accept it for y'all. But, Adia, just like in Numbers, some folks see giants. They see giants called debt. They see giants called bankruptcy. They see giants called divorce. They see giants called unemployment and get discouraged and don't think that this is for them. The devil is a lie. Why believe the devil when you got the word right here? This is for you. I don't care if you in the hood of Philly, West Oak Lane. I don't care if you in such and such in a high-rise apartment project housing unit, or if you're living on Section 8 getting a voucher living in somebody's home, or in a mobile trailer that you got to flee from whenever there's tornadoes coming. This word is for you. Cousin, listen, oh my goodness, enough is enough. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to preach. Just a fucking, oh my goodness, let me go here. Just to give you just hope from week to week that it's going to be okay. No, let's talk about a goal. Let's talk about what you can do to start pressing forward towards that wealth. We're reading a book, and this is one of the books that's in the PRF, in several of the PRF lessons, but it's called How Do You Eat an Elephant? And I know the answer, but one of the things it talks about is planning is a four-letter word. What we're talking about, this wealth series, is in planning and saving our next-door neighbors. So there has to be some type of plan, and you can't have an attack unless you have a plan that you're trying to attack. Oh, my goodness. Whoever's ready to go, let's jump on the train. That's all. That's all I got to say, cousin. Whoever's ready to go. And I can tell you firsthand, I know about 20 people that's ready to go right now. In my community. All from different churches. Different races. Different upbringings. Different backgrounds, different leadership, religious or not, capacities or positions. A group right now is like, you know what, man, I can't have no more of this. There's something better. But it's going to take being committed. All right, cousin, I said I was done. I think I'm done.
I guess just to add my two cents is, you know, I just think that. Huh?
Give us a quarter. I
just think that when, you know, when we're looking at compliance, you know, I always think about, like, leadership. And, you know, the Army always says that all of us are leaders. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, you know, I don't know about that one. That's probably the goal, but we need to be honest with ourselves. Everybody is not a leader. But one of the things that I've learned when it comes to compliance, you know, being compliant, is I'm looking at my printer right now, and there was a criteria before that printer can leave the distribution center, the warehouse. It had to meet all of the requirements of being compliant to be sold to a consumer, to be, you know, shipped out of that warehouse. And it had to pass a series of tests. But before they did that, there was a prototype. There was a prototype that said, this is what it does, and da-da-da-da. And like you were talking about with the plan, and a lot of times we don't understand that there are things, in order for you to be compliant, you have to understand what you're being compliant to. You know, you have to understand what and who you're being obedient to and what the reason is. And I like what Aunt Mary said, is that rules and different things like that and commandments and all of the stuff that's in the Bible, it is to protect us. It is really to protect us, because we understand and we see throughout all, especially the Old Testament, all of the things that are going on as it relates to the children of Israel. When they did not have anybody over them, they were, you know, they were given the commandment. They were told what to do, but they lacked obedience. They lacked being consistent. They lacked at times compromising instead of going all out and doing what they needed to do, whether that was killing everybody in the land because the land was there, or whether it was while Moses goes up to the mountain, we're not going to build our own, you know, little baby calf and start worshiping it. There was always something that was there, and I love the Old Testament because it has so many of today's principles that we see in our society, in our own lives, in our own communities, in our own churches, things that are going on. And it's the instructions that are there. God says, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you follow this commandment, here's the blessing. And I believe that God still is speaking to us today through the Old Testament by saying, my children, all I need you to do is to follow the commandment. And it's not just sometimes, you know, it's not like you got to go to school to learn how to be obedient. It's not that, you know, you had to grow up in Nate's time where he got butt whoopings to be obedient, because I didn't get that many. Okay, I got enough.
Right.
To be obedient. But to know that there was always a better life on the end of following the commandment versus not following it. And they couldn't understand that. And we see that today, that God is saying, I have a better life for you. I have a life full of wealth. I have a life full of keys with your name on it, Nate, with your name on it, Aunt Mary, with your name on it, Cassandra or Billy or Bob or whoever. I have a set of keys with your name on it. And all I'm asking you is to give me your heart. Give me your commitment. Comply. Just do these things. Not out of obligation, not just to check the block. Because he also talks about, I see the heart. Man sees the outer appearance, but I see the heart. And so we can't fool God. But if we can just get in that place to know that on the other side of obedience, on the other side of commitment, on the other side of compliance is our blessing. Is our protection, is the life that we talk about, but it's actually there for us to live. And I just believe in my heart that once the decision is made, because you said something that was so key, you talked about the mindset. That is one thing that in prayer that I've just been praying for, that the mindset of the people will be receptive to hear. Not necessarily to change, because that can take a little bit of time, but at least receptive to hear so that they can make an informed decision about where they want to go with their life. If my mindset is receptive to hear that there's a key with my name on it and I just have to remember and obey, then you know what? Now I have something to work with. Now I don't have somebody, you know, like Brother Cecil say, giving me the beat down script, trying to make me feel bad. Make me feel guilty, you know, make me feel ashamed, because I already experienced that.
Wow.
And it hasn't helped. But if we just pray the mindsets would be receptive to hear, that we can just drop a seed, that it would give people the opportunity to say, you know what? All I got to do is commit and obey, comply. And when the word of God, especially in Deuteronomy, I believe it's 7, or I think, which talks about how we're blessed in the city in the first, like, 20-something verses saying, he's all your blessings. All your blessings. All of them. I mean, you blessed on planet Mars if you can make it there. You are blessed. But all I need you to do are these things. And if you find yourself struggling to do that, go back to your commitment. I'm pretty sure you will be able to begin to see, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I slacked off a little bit there. But I'm still here for you, because that's the kind of God that we serve, who is so loving, who is so kind, and he doesn't just drop you like a hot potato when you don't do what he asked you to do the first time. That he gives you chance after chance. But I'm just convinced that just maybe, you know, the mindset, my prayer is going to continue to be that the mindsets are receptive to hear so that they can make the decision to commit obey and comply to the word of God, and that they will remember the word of God and be able to reap all of the benefits, because he says in I want to say through the Proverbs or Psalms, he said, you're daily loaded with benefits, daily, daily. Like, there's no time period on that. Like, every morning you wake up, you should be like, you know what, God, I thank you for every benefit that you are getting ready to load upon me today. Because I know I'm walking in right standing. And that is just my heart's desire. And I really thank you just for touching on all of the points that you did. Mary, the points that you talked about, and just having that desire to keep going. And I think this is such a tremendous lesson and such a blessing to be able to talk about God's wealth the way God intended for it to be talked about, not just monetarily, not just, you know, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and shall men give it to your bosom, and it's going to explode, and it's a coming in a Honda. Not that. Not that. Y'all know y'all be hearing that. Stop playing. It's a solid foundation. Like, this is a solid foundation to help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
To say that if I've always thought about wealth but didn't know how to get it, I know how to get it today. Because I can promise you, if you apply these biblical principles to any area of your life, whether it is in the church or
Mama, are you still there?
Start a business.
Yes,
To whether if you want to start a business, I know for a fact that applying, being committed, you talked about a plan, Nate. We talked about knowledge. We talked about all of those things that what it takes to start a business. It's right there in the Word of God, and you ain't got to pay for it. Free, F-R-E-E, free. And there's an example, I mean, countless of examples that show that as long as the children of Israel stay committed and obedient and complied to the word of God, they never lack anything. You see all throughout with Nehemiah, with Gideon, so much to the point that they were able to bring in all of their possessions, all of the jewels and the rubies and the gold and the precious metals and the cloths and the silks and stuff, that he had to say, wait a minute, that's, we got enough. When have you been to a church where they said, we got enough offering for the day, y'all stop giving?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in the word of God that when people are committed, that they will give. When people are obeying the word of God, they will give. They will obey. They will do what they need to do. That's the God that we serve, that he will give us enough, that we can share the wealth with other people and never miss it. That's all I got.
Wow.
Okay. May I speak?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay, what comes to my mind is love and obedience. And through my walk with the Lord and me being involved in different churches, you know, you hear in the testimonies that, you know, God just loves me so much, you know, and when I pray, God just answers my prayer. And then the rest of the testimony is that, you know, I've been praying for something else for a long time, and you know, God just hasn't given it to me. And then I say to that is that love is unconditional. God loves us no matter what. He already showed us he loved us by giving his life for us. But as you look in the book of Deuteronomy, as we were talking about, there are blessings and there are cursings, and our blessings depends on our obedience to God. And I can say that because he says, I give you the power to get wealth. But in order to get the wealth that God is talking about, so that I will be able to keep, so that we'd be able to keep the wealth, we must be obedient. So our blessings are depending on our obedience. And then sometimes we just pray for things that we don't need and we don't get. But basically, our blessings, it's going to depend on our obedience, because God could have told a person to do something and they just, I'm not going to preach. That's it. No. Now you tell me to do something else. And they finish with it and wondering why. Because God told you to do something, and you're saying you're not going to do it. So God said, that's fine. And he moves on. You know, he takes the dust from his feet and says, okay, give you more time to grow. And it's on you. So I've heard that a lot, but we all have to understand that yes, God is the best thing going, but he's also not a just shove thing. Just give me. You know, all we do is say give me. You know, God, I need this, I need that, and the other. And then when God tells us to do something, it's like, well, let me pray on it, or let me talk to the pastor such and such and such. I mean, you know, we just go all out. See, and so God's about obedience, because he knows what we need. He knows what we need, and he's not going to set us up for failure. And as it says, God is our protection. So I'm glad that some things that I wanted, he did not give me, because now I am where I am in my spiritual life. I see, boy, that wasn't even for me. I wasn't even really interested in that. You know what I mean? So I'm just wanting, you know, our listeners to know that we serve a loving God, a kind God, and he does seem like he overlooks some of our foolishness. But when it comes to blessings, we must be obedient. Why? Because he said so. There's no option there. Amen.
You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking that as we get ready to end tonight's show, that I'm going to do something that we do when we're having our workshops, our learning sessions. I'm going to give you something to reflect on tonight. And I don't think I've done this in a while. But before I do that, we just want to say we thank you. We thank everybody for listening tonight. We thank everybody for being with us on this journey of PRF. It is a very monumental task, the things that happen and that God is doing with this particular ministry and all the different things that he's doing in all of us who are on the ministry team, the prayer team, the board of directors. There's a lot going on. So we thank you for your prayers and your support. We definitely would love to have your financial support. So you can go onto our website, prfministry.org, and there is several ways that you can contribute to help us do what we've been doing for several years now, not just on the radio, but also in the community. Here's what I want to give to us. Here's what I want to give to you who are listening. What are you being obedient to from the Word of God, from what we were talking about today, or what you see in the Word of God that relates to what we're talking about, meaning relates to God's wealth being stored up, God's wealth being right there, and as Adia said, the keys that he has waiting on you. What are you being obedient to that is connecting you to that? If you can answer what you're being obedient to that connects you to that, then I want you to hold on to it, and not just hold on to it for yourself, but hold on to it and be able to share that with somebody else. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm believing. If I do this because I see what God said, then I'm expecting God to come through on the other end. The second thing I'm going to ask you to reflect on is, what are you being disobedient to in the Word of God? And if there is something that you are being disobedient, I didn't say sin, because we all sin. Well, I know this cat here sins daily. And I believe a whole bunch of other folks, whether you say it or not, do the same, whether it's by omission or commission. So I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about just being disobedient, like Mama was talking about. What are you being disobedient to from the Word of God? You know what the Word of God says. So if you believe that, for example, only one example, but if you believe that the Word of God, as you've seen it written,
and it's in your heart that you should be tithing, but you're being disobedient to that. I'm talking about what anybody else is saying, but you know that. Are you ready to be obedient to that which you know you are being disobedient? And I'm going to challenge you for those who may be being disobedient. This is the challenge. If you're being disobedient in a certain area or to one of those commandments, judgments, statutes, ordinances, regulations, decrees that God has clearly stated, are you going to be obedient even if you never become financially wealthy? That's something for you to think about. Because if your only reason for being obedient is to get wealth, then you've missed everything we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. But if so, no condemnation, because when we come back next week here on the PRX table, oh, we're going to hit that last key. And I would just say go to the website, go to the Facebook page, and you'll be able to see it a couple days early. But for all of us here at the PRF table, myself, Adia, Shatara in her absence, Mama, Brother Feaster in his absence, we say thank you to everybody. We love you. We just want the best for you. We want the best of whatever God has for you. So until next week, send us some notes on the Facebook page. Hit us up on our website. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Y'all have a good night.